Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. But I look good. I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It is about that time. The most entertaining hour of your afternoon is now underway. Right here live on WKAR. AM 870, 105.1 FM East Lansing. That's right. I am the man behind the mic, your host of WKAR's Current Sports, Al Martin. And man, we got a lot to get to on today's Current Sports. This summer already is starting off with a bang and a lot of topics to get to, including the World Cup. We'll be talking some World Cup soccer today as we will be inviting Brooks Lambeer. We haven't had Brooks on in a while. He is a Midwest regional scout for the Portland Timbers. He knows his soccer, and he, of course, he's been following the World Cup pretty extensively. The World Cup has been ridiculously entertaining, from what I hear. I've yet to sit down and like watch a full match, but I tell you what, I got the opportunity to host Press Pass All Stars with Jack Ebling last night. I want to give a big shout out to Jack for giving me that opportunity on Fox last night. It was so fun as Jack is out of town still receiving a Sportscaster of the Year award for the state of Michigan. He gave me a call a few weeks ago and asked if I wanted to host Sunday's show. It was an amazing time. We had a three-person panel, myself as host, and then we had Doug Warren, who is a producer for the team 92.1 FM, as well as Graham Couch, sports columnist for the Lansing State Journal, part of that show last night. But Graham Couch is like a ridiculously, you know, uber fanatic of soccer, period. And he absolutely loves the World Cup, as you can imagine. And we're just kind of sitting there before the taping, and he is going on and on about how intriguing this year's World Cup has been. You know, the different teams who weren't expected to have the performance that they've been having. He showed me a clip of two announcers. I'm going to bring up before the hour ends who those two announcers are and what country they announce for. But these two announcers, I mean, just in tears before the opening World Cup game for their respective country. I mean, I have to say this. When you talk about sports fans, I don't think there's any sports fan out there that truly compares to that of the soccer fan, that of the football fan. It's truly amazing. So we'll be talking about World Cup soccer with Brooks Lambeer. We'll also be diving into how far the United States is from truly competing in a World Cup, let alone even, you know, making a bid for the World Cup now 4 years from now. And whether or not, I'm curious to pick Brooks' brain on whether or not this is a wake-up call for the United States of America when it comes to the sport of soccer, because our nation is miles and miles behind when it comes to developing young talent to compete on that kind of level that we are seeing currently out in Russia. So Brooks Lambeer, Midwest Regional Scout for the Portland Timbers, will join the show for Segment B. You don't want to miss that. Our lead topic, though, will be centered on a story that broke on Friday afternoon. Well, at least that's when I heard of the story. Friday afternoon around 5 p.m., I'm driving around town, and I've got sports talk radio on, and I almost drove off the road when I heard this news. But Chris Webber, a famed member of the Fab Five, University of Michigan men's basketball team. We all know that Chris Webber has had a beef
with his former school for a long time. He's had a beef with the University of Michigan men's basketball program for a long time. When the Fab Five 30 for 30 documentary came out, it's still one of my favorite 30 for 30s they've ever produced by ESPN. Chris Webber did not want any part of it. He didn't want to be a part of the documentary. And Jalen Rose, at one time they were best friends back in the 90s when they balled out with the Fab Five together. Jalen Rose has gone on the record, you know, that, you know, he wants to squash the beef. He wants to make amends with his brother, as he calls him. And Chris hasn't made any kind of public comment. But something special happened last week, and Chris Webber wants to be and has accepted, I should say, an invitation by head coach of the Michigan football program, Jim Harbaugh, to be an honorary captain of, and they haven't chosen the game yet, but he will be an honorary captain prior to one of the University of Michigan football games next season. Folks, Chris Webber will be back in Ann Arbor. How crazy is that? So we'll talk about how we got to this point. We'll kind of, you know, recap you on the history of why this is so monumental for Chris Webber, the Fab Five for the University of Michigan. And then, of course, on the back end of the show, we will close things out with weekend winners. And I have one specific athlete I want to call out. I watched her do her thing in the ring on Friday night at Detroit's Masonic Temple. And I think she really has the potential now to really back up that claim that she is the greatest woman of all time. The greatest woman of all time in the sport of female boxing. All right, I think you know who I'm talking about. All right, we'll get to all of that jazz and so much more. If you would like to be a part of the show, you know how you can do so. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. You can also, in just a moment, we'll have our Facebook.com/WKAR news live stream up and running. Right now, we're having some technical difficulties when it comes to my old cell phone rebooting up. Battery problems, folks. All right, we'll have that up there soon in about, I would say, 5 to 7 minutes. And then you can go to Facebook.com/WKAR news and comment below that live stream. Or you can even join the conversation via Twitter. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. You know what's next, though? Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. And we begin with the NHL draft. Specifically, let's talk about the Detroit Red Wings and how they fared in this weekend's NHL draft. Now, the Red Wings selected they were really busy in this year's 2018 NHL draft, selecting 10 players. I want to kind of go through them, and again, forgive me if I butcher some of these names. These were the Red Wings selections from this past weekend in the NHL draft. Round 1, pick 6, Philip Zadina. Round 1, pick 30, Joe Valino. Round 2, pick 33, Jonathan Bergeron. Round 2, pick 36, Jarrett McIsaac. Round 3, pick 67, Alec Regula. Round 3, pick 81, Seth Barton. Round 3, pick 84, Jesper Elysian. Round 4, pick 98, Ryan O'Reilly. Round 6, pick 159. Now, that was actually traded to the Columbus Blue Jackets for the 2019 fifth round pick. Also, round 6, pick 160, the Wings chose Victor Brattstrom. And the last pick came in round 7, pick 191, Otto Kivenmaki. So there you have that. From what I've been reading, the Detroit Red Wings had some great selections in this year's draft. And a lot of folks out there, a lot of analysts are giving the Red Wings a good grade on the draft. Now, we'll for weekend winners, I have more on the NHL draft when it comes to the Wings. Keep it locked for that. The Detroit Tigers end their latest road trip, 0-4, out in Ohio. The Cleveland Indians finished off a decisive series sweep on Sunday afternoon, beating the Detroit Tigers, not even close, 12-2 at Progressive Field. The Tigers, sitting at 36-42 overall now, have lost five in a row, a span in which they've been outscored 40-11 by the league's two Ohio-based teams, the Indians and, of course, the Cincinnati Reds. Detroit is now 3-10 this season against the Indians, who sit at 43-33 overall and have won seven in a row. The Tribe outscored the Tigers 26-3 this weekend. All right, and Detroit Tigers shortstop Jose Iglesias and outfielder Leonis Martin will become U.S. citizens prior to their game against the Oakland Athletics. Iglesias and Martin were both born in Cuba and will be sworn in alongside 23 other people, including Martin's wife. Quote, "It's one of the greatest things that could happen to me as a person. To make it and become an American citizen is one of my dreams. I'm extremely happy." That quote coming from Jose Iglesias. Very cool stuff there. All right. U of M football recruiting update. Three-star 2019 recruit, tight end Eric Al, has verbally committed to U of M. The 6'4" Al is the number 22 tight end in the nation and the number 19 recruit in Ohio, according to 247 Sports. And speaking of U of M athletics, as I mentioned at the top of the hour, a member of the Fab Five will make his return to Ann Arbor. Chris Weber was invited by Michigan football coach Jim Harbaugh to be an honorary captain for the football team for a game in 2018, and he accepted on the spot during a live appearance on the M Zone Radio with the Wolverines head man. Quote, "Coach, you know that's no problem. I'm definitely honored, and as you know, and getting to speak to you over the years, I love what you've done with the program, and good luck. And yeah, I definitely will be a part of it. You know, I would do anything for you. The number fours at Michigan need to stick together." Of course, Jim Harbaugh wore number four as a quarterback for U of M back in the day, and so did Chris Weber as a member of the U of M men's basketball team. But, you know, as the story has it, and again, we'll play you the audio for our introduction of that topic in just a moment. As I've been reading, Chris Weber just happened to be a guest on the M Zone radio show, and Jim Harbaugh heard it and just called in and said, "Hey, Chris, do you want to be an honorary captain?" And you got that response from Chris Weber. Very cool stuff there. I'll discuss that in just a moment. We'll have more on that in just a moment. Quarterback Dwan Mathis will not be taking his talents to East Lansing in 2019. The four-star recruit flipped to Ohio State yesterday. How about that? Quote, "I would like to thank Michigan State University for the many opportunities they have given me to play at their university. The decision weighed heavy on my heart. I would like to announce that I am officially a Buckeye." How about that? So Urban Meyer snagging a recruit from Mark D'Antonio's MSU football program. Mathis is a number 6 ranked player in the state of Michigan. He is the 9th ranked pro style QB in the country and number 251st player overall, according to 247 Sports. And I want to give a big shout out to Clarissa Shields. I have been hyping this fight all of last week on WKAR's Current Sports. Clarissa Shields, Flint's favorite daughter from Flint Town, picked up the IBF and WBA middleweight titles with a decision win over Hannah Gabriels from Costa Rica on Friday night on Showtime, nationally televised fight. In the first round, Gabriels, though, came out firing, landing a clean right uppercut to stun and drop Shields, but Shields shook it off and dominated the rest of the fast-paced, action-packed fight to win a unanimous decision and claim two titles in a second weight division at the Masonic Temple in Detroit. The judges scored the fight 98-91, 97-92, 97-92 for Shields, who set up a fall showdown for the undisputed women's middleweight world championship with fellow two-belt title holder Christina Hammer. Hammer actually fought on the undercard of one of those fights against Tori Nelson, who Clarissa Shields beat not too long ago. And there was actually a mini brawl that ensued in the ring. If you ask me, I feel like it was a bit staged. It didn't look really organic. But Clarissa Shields, during her post-fight interview, Christina Hammer entered the ring. Clarissa Shields saw Hammer enter the ring, turns to Hammer, starts pointing at her like, "I will whoop you right now, girl." And then they kind of go back, you know, back and forth verbally. And then, you know, the interviewer, you know, he kind of gets pushed out the way by Shields, and security was there. Just pandemonium after the fight. But Christina Hammer and Clarissa Shields, we have been waiting on this fight for a long time. I'm looking forward to seeing if that fight gets solidified. And last but not least, we got to talk about the World Cup, right? Let's go to Behind the Glass right now to current sports production assistant Connor Mathis, who has a World Cup update. Connor, would you please give us an update on what's been happening out in Russia?
All right. So we had two morning games for Group A, and in one of them, Uruguay defeated Russia 3-0 behind goals from Suarez in the 10th minute, a goal by Cavani in the 90th, and an own goal by Russia. With the victory, Uruguay wins Group A and joins France, Croatia, England, and Belgium and guaranteed in the round of 16. Russia, despite the loss, will also advance. The other game this morning was between Saudi Arabia and Egypt. Both teams were eliminated, but they still put up a pretty good game. Saudi Arabia scored the game-winning goal 2-1 in the final minute of stoppage time. And at 2 p.m., we have two more games as Group B will reach its conclusion. In that group, there are three teams competing for two berths. Spain takes on the eliminated Morocco, while Portugal faces Iran. Now, for Iran to advance, they need to win or they need to draw Portugal, and they need Spain to lose by at least two goals. Portugal and Spain only need a win or a draw to advance.
All right. Thanks for that, Connor. And again, we'll be talking more about the World Cup during segment B on today's Current Sports, as we will invite Brooks Lambeer to the show, Midwest Regional Scout for the Portland Timbers. Again, if you would like to be a part of the show, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's keep it moving.
Official invitation, but Chris, I want you to be an honorary captain for the Michigan football team next season.
Coach, you know that's no problem. I'm honored, and as you know, and getting to speak to you over the years, I love what you've done with the program, and good luck. And yeah, I'm definitely a part of it. Followed you guys going, I think, to Rome and all that good stuff this year. I heard you're going to Africa next year. I'm going to try to jump in the suitcase with you guys. But I would definitely be honored, Coach. And I would do anything for you. You know, the number four is in Michigan. We got to stick together.
It's well past due. I'm elated that it's happening. But the one person that I'm pretty sure is probably like, what's going on? Is John Beilein. Because the last time I checked, he didn't play football.
Right.
He played basketball. And it would be great if he actually went back. And again, I'm not parsing him going back. Like, again, I'm elated that he's going back. I'm excited that anyway.
Do you think he's really going to go back?
Yeah, he's going to go back.
Okay.
I'm elated that it's happening overall. But ultimately, I would love if he could also give that level of support to Michigan basketball, who actually was in the national championship game this year.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to be interested to see how that part of it plays off. But I'm happy for him. I'm happy for the university, and it's long overdue.
Well, it's a doggone shame, but never too late for change. So if your love comes low, just reach out and call his name. His name. I'm a reason. Up and over. I'm a reason. Up and over. I'm a reason. Up and over. I'm a reason. Whenever you call.
Oh, I love that joint. That is such a fitting song for our first topic on today's Current Sports. Welcome to the show if you are just now tuning in to WKAR's Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870 105.1 FM. Little James Ingram and Michael McDonald, Yamo Be There. A fitting song. You know, I didn't even plan, you know, just kind of how that song and this topic really sync together. You know, it's a doggone shame. Never too late for change. Chris Webber, it's never too late for change, man. A lot of folks have been telling you that for a long time. A long, long time. You know, how things ended with Webber and the Fab Five as it pertains to the drama of the Ed Martin scandal and the University of Michigan men's basketball program. It is never too late for change. And Jalen Rose, you know, he's confident in the fact that, you know, Chris Webber is a man of his word, and he is going to be there when he picks a certain date of a Michigan football game for this upcoming season to be honored as an honorary captain. Now, for those of you young pups out there who have no idea why Chris Webber has been beefing with his former university, well, you know, the Fab Five, you know, made Michigan basketball as really as cool as the football program was in the mid-1990s. I mean, for those of you who have not seen the ESPN 30 for 30 Fab Five documentary, do yourself a favor. I think it may be the best 30 for 30 that has been done, and I will rank it up there with the U. I will rank it up there with the Bad Boys documentary. It's compelling on so many levels. And, of course, for us that live here in Michigan, I mean, that is a central part of Michigan sports history, what the Fab Five did. Even though they never won a national championship, the Fab Five is one of those teams you look at in college basketball history and say, wow, that was something special. I mean, they started the baggy shorts in basketball. They started the black shoes and black socks as well, and that was highly marketed by companies like Nike. And, of course, seeing as though they were college athletes, Chris and Jalen and the entire crew, they never saw a dime of that money. You know, there's a really telling part of that documentary, which Chris Webber refused to be a part of because of the beef that, you know, he still holds. I don't know if he still holds it. I think, you know, now Chris saying, I'm going to come back and be an honorary captain for the Michigan football game, for a Michigan football game. You know, maybe he's buried the hatchet now and is ready to move on. Who knows? That's the big talk of the town right now. But, you know, Chris didn't want to be a part of the documentary. But there's a part in there where Jalen Rose talks about, you know, how he's walking down the street and he looks into a store and he sees, you know, Michigan jerseys being sold. He sees, you know, the black socks and the black shoes being sold. And obviously that comes from the style that Jalen, Chris, and the rest of that team adopted with the Fab Five. I mean, that was their thing. And it's being marketed to the public for public consumption, and they aren't seeing a dime of that money. So with that being said, I mean, a massive booster scandal tarnished much of what was accomplished on the basketball court. Webber was a central figure in that scandal, and a court battle ensued that eventually went down. Things were extremely oogle here. And the University of Michigan's 1992 and 1993 Final Four runs were stricken from official history. Additionally, the Wolverines program wound up firing head coach Steve Fisher, received a one-year postseason ban, and were stripped of a scholarship for the 2002 season. There was also a 10-year disassociation for all four players involved in the legal case, an NCAA investigation. In the end, Chris Webber's association with the booster, Ed Martin, again, no relation to me. Even though my late grandfather, his name was Ed Martin as well. Webber's association with Martin was the driving force behind really all of it. You know, following a 10-year NCAA mandated disassociation between the Fab Five kingpin, Webber and the school, nothing has seemed to improve the relationship on Webber's part. In fact, you know, when you look at the history of this relationship, Webber decided to, you know, rain on the Big Ten tournament champions parade. And, you know, this was actually last year when U of M, you know, had just won, you know, the Big Ten tournament. And, you know, I'm looking at MLive.com. Webber had a lot to say about the program while trying to really hedge his bets for a player who came to Michigan from his AAU program in Detroit. He told Rich Eisen last year, quote, "And whether it's a school that for some reason doesn't embrace you and you did everything you could for them, you still look at those kids and you go, man, I cannot wait to see them guys fulfill their dreams." Now, what exactly is Webber's beef with Michigan? You know, are they not showing his massive ego enough love compared to the rest of the Fab Five and Jalen Rose, you know, Juwan Howard, Jimmy King, and Ray Jackson? Who knows? But, you know, Jalen Rose has gone on record countless times to say, at the end of the day, Chris Webber is still my brother. He is still a member of the Fab Five. We had a close bond. Life is too short. I'm willing to bury the hatchet. I'm extending an olive branch. You know, Chris, will you accept, you know, my apology? Will you move on? Will you come back to A squared? So, you know, after all four of those former players have been welcomed back at various times in the past. You know, they've all, you know, had the opportunity to kiss and make up with the university. But Webber has been really the defiant one. And it's really irked a lot of people wrong. And I really don't understand it. You know, he continues to hold some sort of grudge against the school that he perceives as throwing him under the bus after 2 years of playing for them. So, now there's no doubt that feelings have been hurt on both sides. But, you know, Webber, and again, I believe, and correct me, I would love for our listeners out there or anybody out there, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe, you know, again, Webber just happened to be a guest on this radio show. Jim Harbaugh happened to be listening and called in, and this organic moment and this invitation occurred where Chris said, yeah, all right, love you, coach. You know, he actually rained down the praises of Jim Harbaugh. You know, I mentioned in our headliners how, you know, Chris Webber went on to say, you know, he loves what Jim Harbaugh has done for the school and the program, you know, and went on to say, you know, the number fours at Michigan need to stick together. So, you know, Chris Webber really likes Jim Harbaugh. And then he talks about Jim Harbaugh taking his team to Rome. And how, you know, it was announced that they're going to South Africa next year. And Chris Webber said, yeah, man, I want to hide in one of your suitcases and go to South Africa. So, but I think that when you heard Jalen Rose, and that audio comes courtesy of ESPN's Get Up, the new morning show with Jalen Rose, Mike Greenberg, and Michelle Beadle. You heard Jalen Rose weigh in on his thoughts about this story from this morning. And Jalen Rose makes a good point in saying that, you know, this is great that he's coming back to Ann Arbor for the first time in a long time. But at the same time, again, Chris Webber didn't play football. Chris Webber didn't wear a helmet and pads for the maize and blue back during the Fab Five era. At the end of the day, I mean, have you reached out to head coach John Beilein? Because that's the program. That is the program we're discussing here. I mean, this has nothing really to do with the University of Michigan football program, even though it's a school that he went to out in Ann Arbor. It's the University of Michigan. I get it. But I'm curious to know if any conversation has been had with John Beilein in the program or is going to be had with John Beilein and the University of Michigan men's basketball program. Because that's what we're talking about here. That is the program you played for. That is the program that you have a beef with. That is the program that you feel did you wrong. So I'm hoping, and I think about John Beilein and I think about the University of Michigan men's basketball program today. I mean, John Beilein, one of the nicest dudes you will ever meet in your life. I always tell the story of how I was a reporter at Channel 6 News, one of my very first, assignments on the job. Or I should say it wasn't one of the first assignments, but it was one of the most memorable assignments that I got a chance to cover. And that was during, Michigan's run to a national championship in which they lost against Rick Pitino and Louisville, and that championship has since been stripped because of the whole Louisville men's basketball scandal. But during that run, I got the chance to interview John Beilein on camera one-on-one, and he walks in, and it's like, I was his long-lost friend, He knew my name. Al, how you doing? Where are you from? What do you plan to do with your career? I know you're doing a great job. Keep up the great work. I mean, just a real personable, down-to-earth good guy. I am sure that John Beilein has thought about or has already reached out to Chris Webber, and I'm curious to know what that conversation has been like. But at the end of the day, I think that Chris Webber needs to make amends with the program and move on. Because, again, life is too short. It is way too short to be holding on to something that happened back in the 90s when you were a kid at the University of Michigan. So this is a good first step, but I really want to see when Chris Webber, whatever game he's going to be at as honorary captain, when Chris Webber goes to Ann Arbor, I'm really hoping that we see him on the sidelines next to John Beilein. Or even, I'm really hoping that, we even see possibly the Fab Five reunited. I don't think we've seen, the Fab Five together in since the 90s. I can't recall a pitcher when those five have been together, because again, Chris has been beefing with these guys still in the program for a long, long time. But to see Chris Webber alongside Jalen Rose and Juwan Howard, Jimmy King and Ray Jackson, how cool would that be? So what are your thoughts on this? I got to give props to for Chris accepting the invitation. Long overdue for sure, but I think this is a step in the right direction to kind of, heal some of the wounds that occurred back during the Fab Five era and the aftermath with the Ed Martin scandal. What do you think? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will be chatting with Brooks Lambeer, Midwest Regional Scout for the Portland Timbers. We'll talk all things World Cup with Brooks. That's straight ahead. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. To WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Just wrapped up segment A, and you heard my thoughts on the news that broke on Friday concerning former University of Michigan Fab Five basketball star Chris Webber accepting an invitation from head coach Jim Harbaugh of the Michigan football program to be an honorary captain of a chosen U of M football game this upcoming year. This is long overdue, and I think it's the first step. It's a good first step in Chris Weber getting over what occurred in the 90s and the Ed Martin booster scandal with the maize and blue. What do you think? I know it's long overdue. A lot of folks have that opinion. Long, long overdue. What do you think? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. Apologies to a few of our viewers and listeners out there, those that regularly tune in via Facebook.com/WKAR News. Engineer Ian Hawley, I have this prehistoric iPhone that I use every day for the live stream. And the reason I use it is because the new iPhone doesn't allow you to plug in with an aux jack, so you don't get the radio audio. So if I was to do it on my iPhone, you would get like the studio audio, which is just horrible. So why do that? But this thing is taking forever to come on because
technology,
of the charge.
Man.
It's so frustrating. So again, folks, we are a radio show. So if you aren't, if you're used to listening on Facebook, I apologize. But again, we are a radio show. Tune in via radio. You can go to WKAR.org and listen that way as well. Or if you're in the Mid-Michigan area, again, just turn that dial to AM 870 or 105.1 FM. Before we get to our guest for today's current sports, Brooke Slambeer, Midwest Regional Scout for the Portland Timbers, to talk some World Cup soccer. I do want to get your thoughts, Ian Hawley, on the story of Chris Weber wanting and accepting, I should say, an invitation from Jim Harbaugh to be an honorary captain for an upcoming U of M football game. What do you think of the beef? And were you surprised, like I was, Chris Weber accepting that invitation?
I was surprised at the fact that he accepted an invitation to be an honorary captain for a football game, just in general. I mean, as a basketball player, I know he's kind of a big figure there, but, you know, being a football captain, sure, I guess, if that's what you want. But it is part of the healing process. I think Weber realizes that he's a big stain on the university, especially for that time. He obviously wasn't the only one involved with Ed Martin, but he was definitely one of the closest. And at that time, it was kind of a golden age for Michigan athletics. You know, the Michigan men's hockey team made the Frozen Four both of the seasons that the men's basketball team reached the national championship. And Desmond Howard had won the Heisman Trophy in 1991, I believe. So there were a lot of good things going for Michigan sports at the time. And then it kind of all came crashing down around Chris Weber. So I think he's built up a little bit of resentment towards the fans and towards the university for kind of the way he got treated. And then obviously he's probably pretty embarrassed at both the infamous timeout and the later court cases that came up involving Ed Martin. So anything that you can do to kind of mend the broken ties with an estranged star like that is both good for the university and good for Chris Weber as a public figure and just as a person in general. It's good that he's going to be able to make those connections again. So I was surprised, yes, but also happy to hear it, even as a Michigan State fan.
Yeah, well, without a doubt. I would just love to see all five of those players together. I mean, I think that'd be really cool, and that would really send the message that Chris Weber is over this now. We can turn the page. And maybe even as time goes on, we'll get to hear things from Chris Weber's point of view, because again, that was something that was missing from that Fab Five documentary. He didn't want any part of it. And, you know, he actually, you know, after the 30 for 30 documentary, the Fab Five documentary aired in 2015, Weber actually fired off some personal attacks on Jalen Rose and also Jimmy King, calling them, quote, Hollywood. And Weber also saying that they misrepresented themselves and Weber. And King ended up firing back. I mean, that was really ugly. That was really ugly. So hopefully they can kind of turn the page.
Well, you know how to fix that, right? If someone's misrepresenting you, just
what's that?
Come out and talk.
Exactly.
Just come show up for the documentary filming.
Right. Show up for it. You know, he didn't even have to see those guys for the documentary. They could have just had the film crew at his house. And he didn't have to have any interaction with anybody. And hear it from his point of view. So it would have been cool to get that perspective. And maybe one day we will. I really hope one day we will hear Chris's side when it comes to that and really hear him open up about it. All right. Well, let's talk World Cup. I tell you what, people are absolutely losing their minds when it comes to the World Cup this year. Every year I feel like I'm saying that, though. The World Cup has been crazy entertaining. And I am remiss to say that I have yet to really sit down and watch a full match. I mean, the matches happen at odd times during the day. I mean, you know, there's always one, you know, at 2 p.m. and I'm still at work grinding during that time. But I've been following a bit of it. And I, you know, I had a, you know, I mentioned at the top of the hour how I filled in as host of a Press Pass All-Stars last night for Jack Ebling, who was is out receiving a Sportscaster of the Year award for the state of Michigan. But I'm sitting there with Graham Couch and Doug Warren, and Graham is a huge, Graham Couch of the Lansing State Journal, he's a huge soccer fanatic, and he's telling me about all these different matches and the drama. And then he showed me a video that I think puts in perspective just how big the sport of soccer is and just how emotional this moment is for a lot of different countries out there. You know, the World Cup can bring about a ton of emotions from people, you know, whether it's extreme joy or extreme pain. And Graham proceeded to show me a video that was taken of broadcasters David Samudio Garay and Miguel Ramon. They are Panama's announcers, you know, announcing the Panama soccer team's run in the World Cup. Panama played its first World Cup match ever when it took on Belgium to open up play for Group G. Now, they ended up losing that match 3-0. We saw them get spanked by England 6-1. But again, this is Panama's first ever, you know, appearance. And before the match started, these announcers, Ian, they were in tears. They were, I mean, sobbing, slapping high fives. I mean, it was just raw. I got kind of emotional watching that moment as Graham showed me the video. I mean, that's what sports is all about. And it just kind of puts in perspective, you know, the impact and the reach of the World Cup. So, you know, we now welcome to the show Brooks Lambier, Midwest Regional Scout for the Portland Timbers. And Brooks, I want to start there. The emotion of the World Cup is something I have never witnessed before. For those out there who aren't big soccer fans listening, can you put in perspective what the World Cup means for the world of sports?
Yeah, well, I just want to say thank you for inviting me on, Al. But just to get to the question, I mean, like you talked about with Panama and the announcers, you know, it's a country that's, you know, not big, you know, it's mostly, you know, dominant in baseball and boxing they're known for. And, you know, to me, it's beautiful to see the countries compete on a world stage, and you're it's more than just the team. It's you're competing for your country, you know, everyone around the world, whether they live, you know, the Panamanians that live in Panama or live in the United States, or same with the Mexican fans, you know, the fans that live in Mexico or the United States, you know, it's so diverse, this country and this world. And you know, when the world's game, the World Cup is, it's on, you know, every 4 years during the summertime, you know, it gets everyone juiced up and it brings the emotions out in everyone and the fans to get together in one place and to celebrate their country and their passion for their national teams.
For, of course, our listeners here in the United States of America, Brooks, if somebody's out there listening and it's like, yeah, but you know, the USA isn't playing, why should those in this nation still tune in to the World Cup? What do you think the big attraction is?
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this before about, you know, if it's, your country's not in it, you know, it's very difficult maybe to get in it for a non-soccer fan. But I think if you're a non-soccer fan, if you watch a little bit of it, like I said, like we talked about, the beauty of the game and mm-hmm. what it means for each country and each player to represent their country, because think about it, you may only represent your country on the world stage, you know, three World Cups, you know, some may get the four, some may get the five, depending on how young or how old they are, you know, and they stay in the national team, but you only have so many games, you know, in a group stage and then in a round of 16 and then so on and so forth to compete for your country. And you know, I just think it's tough when you're a non-soccer fan, because I think a lot of non-soccer fans see the game as it's kickball. You know, you have to really watch the game and understand the game to understand the chess match, the tactics, the changing of formations, the styles, you know, do we go very offensive, or are we going to sit back and hold in and counter on the attack? And, you know, there's a lot that goes into it, but, you know, for people that do enjoy soccer, for sure, they're watching for their club teams. You know, Harry Kane for England, you know, plays for Tottenham Hotspur, who just signed a new contract with them. You know, you're watching for those guys. You may watch for a favorite player like a Messi to see what he can do with Argentina, or Ronaldo for Portugal. And, you know, fans watch, you know, not just for their national team, but also fans of clubs around the world watch that player to see how well they're going to do.
So, Brooks, you know, I've been following it loosely, and I told myself that this week I'm definitely going to tune into it to at least one match. There's so many compelling storylines from what I, you know, what we've been reporting here throughout the last 2 weeks here on WKAR's Current Sports with our World Cup updates. And you know what? I want to attack it from this angle as well, because with that being said, seeing as though the United States did not qualify for this year's World Cup, and they have to wait now. We have to wait, you know, 4 more years to see if they do make a bid for the World Cup. With that being said, is this a wake-up call? Is this a wake-up call for the sport here in America? And looking at the World Cup, that kind of stage, there's so much money, you know, that's being invested in the World Cup as well. I know that there's got to be some big-time head honchos in the upper echelons of the sport here in America saying we really missed out on a golden opportunity here. Do you think this is a wake-up call for the sport of soccer here in America to say we need to start developing and putting more into the investment of young athletes so that we can legitimately compete on that kind of stage? Is this a wake-up call for our country?
Yeah, I would even say it started, you know, when Jurgen Klinsmann in our last World Cup, you know, it kind of was a wake-up call. It was interesting. I read something someone had posted, and, you know, there's some anonymous interviews from certain players about Jurgen leaving off some, like, guys like Landon Donovan and some of the other veterans, you know, and replacing them with kind of the German-Americans that Jurgen brought into the team camp, you know, before he selected the team in 2014. And, you know, he changed a little bit how the U.S. soccer structure is. We now have the U.S. Soccer Development Academy, and, you know, that's done wonders. MLS teams, to a certain extent, most of them have invested in their U.S. Development Academy teams, and then the non-MLS Development Academy teams as well. So you're going to see the development of players develop more as teams increase and they spend more money on developing youth players and such. And then also in the USL with the reserve teams where, you know, for example, you know, at Portland, you know, we bring up some of our 18, 19 academy players and, you know, they'll train and they'll play in a few matches. It may not be in our away matches, but it may be at the home matches in Portland where, you know, they'll see some minutes, you know, maybe it's not starting, but they'll see 15 to 20 minutes, get used to the faster play, higher level. So in that respect, it's been very good for the country and people investing money. And, you know, the biggest problem is it's the national, the U.S. soccer, you know, not U.S. soccer in Chicago, but just all the other club soccer in America between the ECNL, the new National League we've created. And there's a lot of leagues and a lot of structures, and some clubs just aren't very structured to handle, you know, certain things or certain, you know, for development. In this country, you know, there's not enough of an idea. There's not enough of an investment. You know, most of these clubs are community-based. So, you know, you're only getting so much funding, whereas, you know, a team, you know, it's making, you know, now teams are profitable in the MLS. You know, some of these making 20 to 30-some million, you know, and not losing money now. It's tough. And it's not easy for kids in the inner city as well, just because, you know, soccer in this country is, let's face it, it is a middle-class sport. And I think as a country, we've done a very bad job of trying to get into the inner city and, you know, expanding the game to people maybe less fortunate that can't afford it. So that's another big issue as well. But to answer your question, though, like to give it just a roundup summary, yes, we have. It's getting better, but there's still a long way to go. You know, not super long, but it's getting there. We're heading in the right direction.
Brooks Lambeer, Midwest Regional Scout for the Portland Timbers of the MLS. You brought up a few interesting points that I want to briefly follow up on there, Brooks. You said that it is getting better, and you mentioned, you know, funding. I'm curious. You know, you said that we're not far off, but we are. When it comes to legitimately competing in the World Cup and being a possible championship team, again, there's a lot of factors that weigh in, you know, into this, specifically when it comes to the development, in my opinion, the development of our young players in the world of soccer. Because I know internationally, Brooks, and correct me if I'm wrong, you know, when you see, a 15-year-old internationally, a lot of those 15-year-olds are playing professionally if they're good enough. Here in America, mm-hmm. you know, when you're a teenager, I mean, you're still in school, you know, you're still in high school. And then after high school, you go to college, you know, start playing professional soccer immediately. At what age should that development be targeted at so that we ensure that, you know, generationally we are able to mold young talent to be able to compete on that World Cup level?
So you're starting to see that a bit. You got, you know, Andrew Carlton for Atlanta United, you know, a kid that they signed to a first team contract. He's, you know, played with the U-20s. He's about 18 years old. And LA Galaxy have a tremendous player at 15 who's playing for the USL team. So he's competing, you know, with 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, you know, 23-year-olds. You know, he's scoring goals left and right. It's happening. You know, it's happening. You know, Portland Timbers signing, you know, our first homegrown ever, Marco Farfan. And, you know, he's been in and out of the lineup, but, you know, right out of high school, we signed him. And so what you're going to see with the development academy, specifically with the MLS teams, is you're going to see a lot of kids that are good enough, you know, forego college and play with the USL team, which is the MLS reserve team, or, you know, maybe get a shot at the first team, or if they're good enough, you know, like a Christian Pulisic, you know, it worked out a little more nicely for him, just because, you know, he had a dual citizenship, you know, to go over to Europe, and his dad was heading over there. So, you know, for FIFA laws, you know, if you go to another country under the age of 18, you must, your parents must leave for job purposes. You cannot just go just to play soccer. Which, you know, Pulisic's dad, you know, worked in the Borussia Dortmund Academy for a bit, and now he's coaching USL soccer back over here. But you are seeing kids. There are a lot of young kids out in Europe that are American, and you're starting to see more in the MLS game, you know, starting to get minutes and whatnot. Now, the question, do they need to play more? Of course, because MLS is very international heavy. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it comes with the development at the youth age and the coach understanding, is the kid ready or not? And there's a lot of factors that go into it, because you don't want to put the kid out there too early, because then if you hurt his confidence and then you move him up and moving him up and down between the reserves and the first team, it can hurt the kid's confidence a lot. So, but in terms of more kids foregoing college, that's happening. And in turn, you know, it hurts the college game a bit, which it's tough, you know, with a lot of college coaches I know, because they want to develop those kids that go into the MLS combine and the draft and get drafted. And, you know, it's a discussion that Damon Renzi and I have had a lot with, and, you know, Kale Wasserman and Pierman and all those guys. And, you know, it's tough on them at times.
All great points, Brooks. As we're coming up here, towards the end of the show, about, you know, 2 minutes left here, I do want to ask you. I mean, when you've been following the World Cup since the beginning here, who are your favorites now to possibly win this entire thing, Brooks?
Belgium. I like Belgium. You know, with Romelu Lukaku and Kevin De Bruyne and Dries Mertens, and, you know, they're a solid team, and they've had some, you know, guys that have had good, that are coming off good club seasons, you know, from this past year. And, you know, I think there are a lot of picks for a lot of people as well. Obviously you cannot count out Spain or Portugal, or, you know, Germany's got some work to do now, because Mexico's on top of that group right now. And then, you know, England's got it together. You know, it's been great. It's the chemistry's a lot better with the English. You know, they figured it out a bit. Gareth Southgate's been a great, you know, guy coming in and kind of restructuring or redoing the chemistry, been that England national team. And, you know, there's such high expectations in England for that team, and they're finally coming to fruition a bit here. So, you know, hopefully, you know, they can, you know, it looks like they'll come out of their group. Hopefully they can advance out of the round of 16 and make a little run here.
All right, Brooks, fantastic job. Again, Brooks Lambeer, Midwest Regional Scout for the Portland Timbers of the MLS. Brooks, would you mind coming on weekly and kind of breaking down the World Cup? I think it'll be a fantastic spot as the World Cup proceeds here.
Of course, man. You know, I'm always happy to do that, you know. And then, obviously the college soccer game, as you know, too. So,
of course.
Yeah, I'd be more than happy to.
All right, Brooks, outstanding job. We'll have you on next week, my friend. Great stuff. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Al. You take care.
You too, my man. Brooks, he really knows how to break it down. And again, to be a scout in the MLS, you got to know the sport, right? All right, as we come up now here with just under 2 minutes left, Ian Hawley, let's kick it with our weekend winners right now.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it. That's the great thing about sports.
All right, I've got one weekend winner for you all. On Friday night, I camped in front of my television to close out my Friday night. No, I was not turning up. It was a pretty regular night for me, and I specifically did not go out Friday night because I wanted to be in front of a television to watch Clarissa Shields, Flint's favorite daughter, go against Hannah Gabriels of Costa Rica, one of the most entertaining female boxing bouts you'll ever see. Clarissa Shields, for the first time in her young pro career, she got tested, got knocked down in the first round, but from then on, she completely dominated the fight. Amazing. Amazing stuff from Clarissa Shields. She is really on that path now as she continues to accrue belt after belt after belt, really, you know, beefing up that resume to possibly be called, when her career is said and done, the greatest female boxer of all time. Christina Hammer, stop dodging Clarissa Shields. I want to see that fight, Christina Hammer and Clarissa Shields. That's possibly going to be the next fight on the docket. But big ups to Clarissa Shields, putting on for Flint Town, downtown Detroit at the Masonic Temple on Friday night. We'll be back at it same time, same place on Tuesday. As always, folks, take care and be easy, people.